remain standing if you will. Amen. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. Amen. Appreciate those songs. I like it when we can sing those special verses. Matter of fact, when people pick a special verse, that's usually the best verse in the song. Some of those songs got a lot of good verses.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, I like them that way, but appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I'll tell you this while you're getting your place there. While we were in North Carolina, went back there to New Light. I mean, that's the church my brother goes to. That's the church my mom and dad got saved in when I was 8 days old.
And that's always a blessing to be able to go back there. My grandparents went to church there. Of course, my dad did when he was a boy. And then we went there, visited there, and all their, you know, they'd have special services and things like that. But we never attended there, never were members there as I was growing up. But my brother, then after he came back from Germany, that's where he wound up going and still goes. And a matter of fact, right now he's, I guess, sort of their interim pastor. They don't have a pastor. They've been without a pastor now since March. And they need your prayers, to be honest with you. They really do. It's always a nervous thing when a church goes without a pastor, especially for a length of time. And they have lost some members in the process of this. And they have, you know, there's some division in the church that needs to be healed. And so pray for them. But what I was going to mention... My niece, Becca, plays the piano, and I always joke about how slow they sing all the songs. And they do. They sung Silent Night. I mean, we started at 7, I think by about 8:30, they're finishing the third verse. And they not only sing the verses, but they play between the next to the last and the last verse. They play. And so we're all just starting back up with the last verse, and they wasn't singing, you know. But anyway, I told Matt and Courtney, I said, we just sung three songs while they sung them three verses. That's just how we would have done it. But it was good. It was a blessing. And sometimes I like to slow them down. You know, I like Rock of Ages. I like it slow, just about as you can get it. And there is a fountain. That's a good one. Something that you slow down. But there's some things that just don't need to be drug out all the time. Amen. I like to have a little life in us. Matter of fact, I was thinking about this song we sang first. It talked about that when we get over there, it talks about I'm gonna shout and sing. And I thought, it talked about I'll shout with the millions on high. You remember that? And I thought, well, for some people it'll be the first time. We're here with the redeemed ones now. Amen. We're just as heaven bound right now as we'll be when our feet are on the street of gold. Right. Just as saved, not a bit more saved there than we are right now. We got reason to rejoice. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, just having said that, I'm going to read one verse tonight and try to preach a thought to you that is actually a repeat. I preached this thought before here in this pulpit, but it's what God laid on my heart, burdened me about. Actually, earlier in the week, I was thinking along these lines, and this is where we're going. Look at verse number 36, the verse there that we're going to read for our text tonight. The Bible said, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." I underline that phrase, "and see how they do." Here's what I want to preach tonight. We're the year end. I want to preach an inventory service. I want us to take inventory. Here's my title. How are we doing? I want us to think about that. How are we doing? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Yes. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer, Brother Herford. Amen. So my thought is, how are we doing? Paul and Barnabas had made their rounds, maybe you'd say. They've run their circuit. They have gone their mission route. They've come back, identified, and responded back to the church, the home church. They've told about how things have done. They've spent some time, maybe you might look at it as spent some time on furlough. Now it's time to go back. They said, let's go back and check on these churches and that last phrase and see how they do. Now that's what I want to deal with again. We're on the last service of the year. I preached this back in 2021, this text and this thought. I preached it back in 2021 on the first day of December of 2021. This being the last day of the year, I think it's more appropriate, to be honest with you, now. And I think every now and then it's good for us to just do an inventory. Amen. Some businesses, most businesses, will take a special time. They'll, at least once a year, they'll have a major inventory. They just check and see how many, you know, and you've been to stores that they're books say that they've got 20 of these, but you can't find one. And they can't find one, and so they need to find out where those things are. Well, there's some things that the church ought to have. There's some things that individuals ought to have. I think it'd do us good every once in a while just to do an inventory to check and see how we're doing. Amen. So that's what they were doing. They were planning on visiting these churches, taking an inventory, and seeing if they've made progress or how much progress they've made, or peradventure maybe they have backslidden in their life for the Lord. So if these church planners were interested in doing an inventory of their church, I think we as a church ought to be interested in doing an inventory of ours. I think we ought to be interested in doing an inventory of our own life. Amen. Inventory of our own family. And amen. Check and see about those things. Now, I wrote some notes about the days we're living. Did you know we're living in some days with spiritual opportunities that have never been known before? Amen. Spiritual privileges and spiritual opportunities like there's never been. In other words, here's one thing. There is more availability of Bible knowledge than there ever has been. I don't have my cell phone with me. I left it at home yesterday and today, but I'll use this tablet. You can have more books that you could read. I'm talking about Bible books. I'm talking about, Christian books. Study books, you can have more on this little tablet than some people ever own in a lifetime. Than most anybody would ever own in a lifetime, particularly back in the years that have gone by. More of these opportunities for Bible knowledge than there's ever been. There are buildings that dot our country all over the country that building is there for the furtherance of the gospel. That building is there for the studying of the ministry. That building is there that they could come to know something about God. There are radio stations that are wholly dedicated to broadcasting the gospel truth. Amen. They're not broadcasting rock and roll music. At least some of them, they got rock and roll music. They claim gospel music. But you understand what I'm saying. They're not in that worldly level. They're not in the contemporary. They're not in the country music. They're not in the pop music. Their goal is to spread the gospel. Ours is one of those. Amen. Thank God we have that opportunity. Amen. Amen. There are all kinds of things that you can go to. The internet. is filled with blogs and posts and sermons and websites and tweets and articles and videos and one thing after another that could be used for good and religious programming. Amen. There are more Bibles available today than there ever has been. Amen. But how are we doing? We got all this extra stuff, but I wonder, how are we doing with all that? Just to be honest with you. Amen. We're not only living in a time of more spiritual opportunities, peculiar, by the way, spiritual privileges, but we're also living in a time of special spiritual dangers. Because a lot of that information is false information. It's fake news. Amen. They use a fake Bible. They got a fake Jesus. They got a fake God. They got a fake religion. Amen. And so there's so much false information being spread about Christianity, more so today, again, than there ever has been. Many of those buildings that call themselves a church are filled with unsaved members. Many of them even have unsaved ministers in the pulpit. A lot of these things they call Bibles are not Bibles. A lot of these things that are on the internet or these books or these things that are out there are not really Christian as they ought to be. They're false. I go back to that, you know, rock and roll music with the name Christian still ain't Christian. Country music with the name Christian still ain't Christian. Amen. And just on and on we could go. So I'll just say that a lot of that is just like with television. It's full of charlatans, fake gospel ministers. Right, promoting the false gospel, spreading lies rather than truth. And so again, I just ask the question, how are we doing? Matter of fact, when I look at it and I think about all these opportunities and then I look at all these dangers, I say, this building was dedicated for the use of spreading the gospel, not just in Madisonville, Kentucky, but literally around the world. That's what this building was dedicated for. There's other buildings in Madisonville dedicated for the same thing. I wonder how they're doing. But I'm not so much interested in how they're doing as I'm interested in us taking inventory about how we're doing. Amen. So I emphasize the we. How are we doing in these matters? Amen. There's a lot of people that consider themselves to be religious people, but they're only given lip service. I said something about that this morning in Sunday school. Amen. That lip service. Here's what it is. When or if they decide to go to church, then it's the church of their choice. Rather than seeking God and seeking the things of God, rather than wanting the truth, a lot of people like to have their ears tickled. A lot of people don't like to be convicted. Amen. A lot of people don't like to feel uncomfortable. They want to feel comfortable. They want to be able to wear what they want to wear. They want to be able to hear what they want to hear. Right? They want to be able to live like they want to live rather than hearing the truth of the gospel. Again, I say, how are we doing in those matters? Amen. How are we doing? A lot of people look at church just as excitement. It's just a pleasure sport. It's not something they participate in. It's something they come and observe. Right? Church is not an, what's the word they call that? A spectator sport. That's the word I'm looking for. Church is not a spectator sport. Amen. We may be spectacles sometimes. Amen. But church is not a spectator sport. Church ought to be something that we're participating in. Amen. Brother Jacob was teaching Sunday school this morning and I don't remember something that he said and he was dealing with praising the Lord and I can't remember exactly, but dealing with participating was the idea that I got. And I remember John Gill was about as hyper-Calvinist as you could get and still be a Baptist. He was. And matter of fact, he was so hyper-Calvinist that Spurgeon loved him, and Spurgeon pastored the same church he pastored. Spurgeon honored him, but Spurgeon was a little bit nervous about some of the statements that he made. And but John Gill had this belief. He believed that if you didn't sing in the congregational singing, you probably wasn't saved. He believed that was an ordinance of the church. Just like baptism and Lord's Supper, he believed that an ordinance of the church was congregational singing. And that you're supposed to participate in that just like you're supposed to get baptized and just like you're supposed to take of the Lord's Supper. That's what he believed. Now, you say, are you that extreme? Well, I'm not too far from that. I'm not going to call you lost if you don't sing, but I think you ought to. It's not a spectator sport. We don't come to judge how everybody else is singing. We come to get in on the singing.
Amen.
Amen. We don't come to judge how somebody else is shouting. We come to get in on the shouting.
Amen.
Really? That's how it's supposed to be? Amen. And so anyway, I'm just asking the question, how are we doing? Now, having said those brief introductory remarks, let me give you some points here. I think I got about six that I want us to think about tonight. First of all, here's my first statement. It's a question. Do we ever think about our soul at all? Do we ever consider our soul? Now, we consider our body. We get up in the morning to decide what we're going to put on. Jesus said, don't take thought about what you're going to put on. Don't take thought about what you're going to eat. You remember he made those statements? You know what? He's not saying don't worry about what you wear. But here's what he said. Don't let that be your only thought. Don't let that be your primary thought. Don't let that be your predominant thought. But give God the preeminence. Let God be in all your thoughts. Amen. That's what he's dealing with in that thought. Well, in this thing about this thinking about our soul, there's a lot of people that go through their whole day. I know that multitudes that live day in and day out and never think about their soul. Never even consider their soul. The thought of religion or religious services doesn't even come into their thoughts. Amen. Their year, here we're coming to the end of the year, their year is consumed from beginning to end with the pursuit of happiness. Maybe the pursuit of pleasure. The pursuit of finances, money. Maybe some, I'll just say self-indulgence of one kind or another. Amen. That's how people live their life. Doing what they want to do. Engaging in what they want to engage in. Here's thoughts. Death never comes into their mind. Judgment never comes into their mind. Eternity never enters into their thoughts. I ask the question again, how are we doing? Heaven and hell are realities. They're real. We need to think about it. Amen. Most people live as if they're never going to die. They live as if they're never going to be called up before the council of God in judgment. Amen. They never evaluate how they're living, what they're doing, if God's pleased with it or not. They never think about where they're going to spend eternity. In other words, they just don't think about it. Amen. They don't think about their soul. Turn to Acts chapter 18, if you're in chapter 15 there. There's a statement here about a man named Gallio. Gallio. Here's a man, well, let's start reading in verse number 12, chapter 8, verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it. For I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Look at verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. That's what I want you to notice there. He just didn't care. He's supposed to be the one keeping law and order. And there's a mob in front of him, and they're beating a man because of his religious beliefs. They're beating him, he's the ruler of the synagogue, because he allowed Paul to preach Jesus in their synagogues. And they're angry about that, and Gallio couldn't care less. That's how a lot of people live their life. Whether it's government. By the way, I wish government did care less. Beyond, I wish it was out of our life more than they're involved. I wish, amen. But in some cases, there's some, you need the government. We need police officers, for example. Right? I don't want them following me in every turn I make, but I'm glad they're out there to stop some of these fellows that's driving worse than I am. Amen. But here's my thought. I'm thinking about people in the world and sometimes even in the church. They may not actively oppose religion. They just don't have time for church. They just don't ever think about reading their Bible or prayer. They don't have time for that. It doesn't enter into their thoughts. It's not that they hate God. At least they wouldn't say they hate God. They just say in their heart, no God. That's what the fool says. And it's in his heart that he says it, by the way. He don't have to say it with his mouth. He says it in his heart. He just doesn't have time for God. They just don't give God a thought. They don't give him 1 minute of their day. They don't give him 1 day of their week. They don't give him any time in their life. They have no thoughts of God. They don't deny that heaven and hell are a reality. They just don't think about it. They don't make any plans. That's, some people never think of religion or think of their soul. That's really what I'm talking about. Think of their soul at all. Now, Gallio here in this text that I read to you, Gallio turned a blind eye to what was going on in his nation. He didn't care what the people were doing. And it was his job to care. It was his job to judge them and maintain order and equality in society. But he didn't care what happened. In other words, he just didn't want to take sides. And I see that happen a lot of times, for example. I mentioned about my brother's church and their need. I'm not just talking about them specifically, but when churches have troubles, here's what happens. And sometimes a lot of people just don't want to get involved. Let it stink all it stinks. They just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to fix it. They just don't want to get involved in it. Just like turn a blind eye to it. Dad was telling a story, and I remembered it when he was telling it. I remember it happening. And Dad, the way he told it, like it happened once. In my mind, I think it happened numerous times. But when I was a boy, Dad, they were starting Vision Baptist Church. Before they got in their building, they was in a rented house. And that was the first year. They was just there for 1 year. And in that first year, there in that rented house, a man started coming. His name was Monroe Shoemate. My wife remembers Monroe. Good man. He's dead and gone to glory now. But Monroe started coming. He hadn't been going to church. And he started coming. He'd sit on either the first row or the second row. And the way Vision was set up, there was a row of pews on this side of the pulpit and this side of the pulpit, and then just out front of the pulpit. Monroe sat out in front of the pulpit. And Monroe's sitting over there with his arm on the back of the pew, but beside his wife. It's actually this arm. On the back of the pew beside his wife. And he's wearing a watch. He just got that watch. He's happy to get that. It's one of them that played Dixie when the alarm went off. Guess what time the alarm went off? 12 o'clock. And so Dad would just be getting going good. And just be going into service and that thing start going off. You know what Monroe would do? Like he never heard it. Everybody in the church heard it. It's like he thought, and I believe Dad's right. Monroe probably had the idea, if I ignore it, they'll ignore it. They wasn't ignoring it. Everybody knew that it was his watch. Right. But his wife finally took charge. She said, he won't be wearing that watch to church no more. Amen. Matter of fact, I think she jerked his whole left arm off. No, but here's my thought. Some people think, just ignore it. And it'll go away. This thing about salvation, this thing about heaven or hell, if you ignore it, you're headed to hell. If you ignore it, you're not going to heaven. Amen. They'd rather turn a blind eye, they'd rather turn a deaf ear to the truth than have to hear it or have to look at what's going on. Can I say that's a sad thing? Some people never think about their soul. Number two, some people never do anything about their soul. So I asked the question, I think the first one, do we ever think about our souls at all? Secondly, the question, what do we do about our souls? I mentioned that some people never think about their soul. Then there are those who do occasionally think about heaven or hell. They hear a sermon. They go to a funeral. That maybe pass a funeral home or pass a sign that somebody in their community has died, and they think, you know, I need to get in church. I need to make plans about my eternity. I need to get something done there. Occasionally they think about religion, but it never goes any further. They just think about it. How many times have you talked to somebody? Maybe it's a family member. You might have done it right here over the Christmas holidays. And you say to them, are you in church? And they say, well, we've been thinking about going. We've been thinking about it for 20 years. Or maybe they say, we've talked about going. It's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to do something about it. That's the point I'm making. Amen. And so I ask the question, what or how are we doing on that? Amen. So they hear something that makes them think. By the way, these people have good intentions. We've all heard there's an old saying that says the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think that's right too, by the way. Amen. They have good intentions. They're going to get faithful one day. They're going to read their Bible one day. They're going to get serious about praying. They're going to go witness. They're going to get serious about Christianity, but they never do. Amen. You've heard me say this before about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when he came to himself, he said to himself, I will arise. But there's a lot of them that they say that, but they never do it. He not only said it, he did it. Amen. A lot of them are like Ezekiel. I've written this verse down. You don't have to turn, but Ezekiel 33, verses 31 and 32. Here's how Israel looked at Ezekiel. The Bible said, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Amen. How many times have we said to somebody, boy, that is a good sermon, but we didn't do anything with it? Amen. Boy, that is a good Sunday school lesson. Boy, that is a good song. But we didn't do anything with it. Amen. I asked the question, how are we doing? So, do we ever think of our soul at all? And what are we doing about our soul? Number three, are we satisfied with just formal religion? Now, I'm looking at this progressively. You've got some people that never even think about going to church. You've got some people think about it once in a while. Then you got some people that go, but where they go is not really that good. You understand what I'm saying? Right. I'm King James only. I think you know that by now. I'm King James only. Wouldn't advise anything else. But if a person was in a motel room and the Bible in that motel room was New King James, somebody might could get a little help out of that. They just wouldn't get as much help as if they had the real thing. Right? Just like a starving man could get a little nourishment from a Snickers bar. But it wouldn't be near as good as a T-bone steak. So my point is this, there's people that when they do think about religion, when they do think about something, doing something about their soul, they do something, but where they go is really not all that good. Or what they do is really not all that good. Amen. I'd like to think about those that do that. Here's what a lot of people do. And I'm talking about people that come to an independent, fundamental King James way, brother Randy Sutherland says, judgmental Baptist church. Fundamental, judgmental Baptist church. Here's what they do. They come to church and they sit on their pew. Period. They come to church, thank God. And they sit on their pew, thank God. But that's it. That's formal religion. Amen. They don't. I'm glad they found a place in the church house. I wish they could find a place at the altar. I really believe, you've heard me say this before, but I do believe that every family ought to have, I call it a family pew. You ought to have a place. Now, and I know we got places, and everybody likes to sit in their place. Somebody comes and gets in your place, and it does mess with you a little bit. Right? If you're used to sitting on this side, worshiping on this side just don't work as good. If you're used to this side, that side don't work. Not that you got anything against them. It's just the truth. You've got your place. Melissa and I, listen, if they've shut down church at New Testament Baptist Church in Fairdale, in Kentucky, but if we went there tonight, I know where we'd sit. Because it's where we sit about every time we went. Wherever you go, generally, you got a place that is your place. I think everybody ought to have a place that is their place in the church. But again, it ought not just be a pew. There ought to be a place at the altar. There ought to be a place where we get some help from God. Amen. There's a lot of people that would come in. They'd gladly listen to the singing, just don't ask them to sing. Spectator sport, back to that. Amen. They sit and listen to a sermon if it's not too long, but they don't apply anything of the sermon to their life. Amen. Amen. Well, a lot of people come and sit in a service, and they may even nod their head to the truth, but they won't say amen. That's asking too much. I mean, you would, honestly, if some people say amen, you'd think they'd done went charismatic. They are filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. I ain't ever heard them say that before. Shame on us. Amen's a Bible word. If we're Bible believers, Baptists ought to be, amen. Amen ought to be a Baptist word. Amen. That's right. Now, here's my note, and I'm moving on from this point. These same people. You can't hardly get a grunt out of them in church, but they'll scream their ever-loving head off at a ball game. They'll holler for their favorite team. And by the way, I am not saying that we ought to make church like a ball game. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, if you get more excited about that than you can get excited about Jesus, there's something wrong somewhere. Amen. Again, I just asked that question, how are we doing on that? Number four, all these questions I'm asking. Here's another one. Are we religious or are we saved? It's in that same vein. They get religious, but they're not saved. Again, some people never think about it. Some people do think about it. They never do anything. Some people think about it. Some people do something. Some people start going. But even just going, are you saved? Thank God you carry a Bible. But does the Bible carry you? Amen. Thank God you go to church. But do you ever get in the church? Have you ever become a part of the body of Christ? Amen. Far too many people do actually think about it, their soul. They decide to do something about their soul, but they settle for getting religious instead of getting saved. Amen. God never said, look unto me and be ye religious. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Amen. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Amen. He didn't come to start a religion. That's what some people believe. Jesus started the religion of Christianity. He never started a religion. Jesus came to save sinners from their sin. Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John 3:17. I quoted it this morning as well. So, how are we doing in this? Are we saved? Or are we just religious? Can I tell you this? Religious people go to hell when they die. Amen. Religious people may live better in life. They may live longer. They may live happier. But they still go to hell when they die if they've never been saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm asking, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord? Amen. How are we doing? Number five. Are we separated? and sanctified. That's a good one. Think about this at the end of the year. Are we separated and sanctified? I'm convinced some people think about their soul, do something about their soul, start going to church, maybe even get saved. But they never commit themselves to the Lord. I'm not saying they don't make Christ Lord. I don't believe you get saved without Christ being Lord. You don't come to Him as some second level deity. You got to come to Him as God, Lord of all. Amen. I believe that. You got to come to Him as Lord of all. But yet they never surrender their life to Him. Amen. They never grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I got saved, can I tell you, I've said this before that I've told you my testimony. When I got saved when I was 8 years old, there's a lot of things I didn't know. I didn't know that it was wrong to smoke. I knew it was wrong to cuss. I knew it was wrong to drink. I knew it was wrong to commit adultery, although I wasn't even sure what that was. Right. But I didn't know that it was wrong, I said, to smoke. I didn't know it was, I didn't know that it was wrong to wear shorts. I didn't know that it was wrong to, you know, to live like the world was living, because I knew people that was saved, religious, and did all those things. Amen. Matter of fact, I knew preachers that smoked and wore shorts. Shame. Amen. I didn't know, but I'm glad I got to know. I'm glad God helped me to grow a little bit in that. Amen. And I'm not saying those people were lost. They may have been as ignorant as I was. Right? You may have got saved and didn't know that a woman wasn't supposed to preach. Right? But that didn't mean you wasn't saved. You just didn't know. You may have got saved and didn't know that salvation is forever. You thought maybe I might lose it next week. That didn't mean you didn't get saved. Amen. But you grow in these things. Amen. So I say we're supposed to grow in the Lord, and He told us that in 2 Peter chapter 3, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But in order for us to grow properly, we've got to be different from others. We've got to be separated from others. We got to separate from those who walk disorderly. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Now I command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out from them. Quit running around with that cursing crowd. Quit running around with that sunbathing crowd. Amen. Amen. Quit running around with that makeup wearing crowd. Amen. Amen. Quit running around with that worldly crowd. Amen. Amen. Come out from others. Dress differently. Talk differently. Live differently. Amen. These are all good things. And by the way, they're outward separation issues. God don't just want our wardrobe, He wants our heart. Amen. He wants our heart. There are some women that would not wear a pair of, that do not wear pants, but they want to. There are some men that do not wear shorts, but they want to. There are men that wouldn't go around without a shirt or with just a tank top on, but they want to. God wants our heart. This is how it ought to be. That if I was in a place, let's say for example, some workplaces, they have, they call that Friday where they dress down? Casual, thank you. I could get the word formal, and I think formal Friday ain't right. It's casual Friday. And now it's casual every day. You can come to work in your pajamas. Not here. Amen. That ain't the way it's supposed to do, by the way. Amen. All right, let me just, but let's say I was working in a place and they say, this Friday we're all going to wear our muscle shirts. Could you imagine? I mean, I'd blind everybody. My arms are so white. Not the big muscles blind, no, little scrawny arms would blind them. But this is my point. Even if they're all going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Because you say, well, don't you want to? Well, I tell you what I do want to do. I want to please my Lord. I want to be different. All right, this Friday we're all going to go in on the lottery. Nope, not this boy. Why? I'm different. Amen. I don't have to condemn you, but I'm not going to do wrong just because everybody else is going to do wrong. I'm going to do my best to please my Lord. He has my heart. That's how it's supposed to be, by the way. Amen. So come out from them. Give God your heart. And by the way, when you do that, it'll manifest on the outside. I know people get upset. They say, all he ever does is preach about the way we rest, way we dress, and all he's on is about the outside. No, I'm on the inside. If I can deal with the inside, it'll change that outside. Amen. Here's what he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, right after he said all that about come out from among them. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God wants us to continually surrender our heart to him that he can have our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection as some suppose. Amen. I know that we're going to have to battle the flesh and the devil and the world and sin as long as we live. But I do believe that we can and should live prayerfully battling those things.
Amen.
Rather than surrendering to them. Our surrender ought to be to God, not to the flesh.
Amen.
Maybe I should say it this way. Our surrender ought to be to the Father, not to the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We ought to surrender to Him. Let Him control our life. We shouldn't live like the way of the world. We ought to live for God. Amen. You've heard me say this before. I get all upset at people how that they get enamored with Hollywood. When you let Hollywood dictate your morals for you, you might as well go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Call them brethren like Lot did. You might as well. That's where you're headed. It's in that whole Hollywood mentality that's telling us how to dress, telling us how to live, telling us how to talk. Amen. We ought to come out from among that. Amen. Amen. Well, I could say a whole lot of things about that. Let me just say this while I'm here. Now, I'm preaching to us. I know I'm on the air. Somebody's going to hear this and may get upset about it. And somebody in the congregation may hear this and get upset. But can I recommend, as a pastor, just a recommendation, throw your television out. Just throw it out. It ain't going to do you one bit of good. You say, but I watch good things on it. Really? Really? Have you not watched anything that hindered you rather than helped you? I guarantee you have. Amen. You say, what does it mean to you? Well, I'm just trying to help us be more spiritual.
Amen.
Be honest with you. Be more sanctified, separated, dedicated to God. There was a time, listen to me, Brother Herbert used to preach it strong, Brother Hall used to preach it strong, Brother Don Green used to preach it strong, Brother Sammy Allen used to preach it strong. A lot of those old men are gone. We're not hearing them anymore. And what's happened, we got a generation of people, by the way, people that sit under them that's brought it back into their house and think we can control it. You know what it's doing? It's controlling us. I heard Brother Joel Hyatt say this one time years ago, and I ain't never forgot it, and I don't think I ever will. You look at your house. Who told you to put the couch where it's at? The television did. Yeah. Who tells you what you're going to do at 9 o'clock? All right, I know I'm meddling. Everybody's already sick. You're going to be sick of me now before it's over. All right. How we doing? I'm just asking the question, how we doing on that? So, can I say this about this separation? It's not just for the church house, it's for our house.
Amen.
I don't control your house. Amen. I can control the church house, but I want to encourage you to help your house if I can. Amen.
Amen.
This thing about living right ought to be done at home. It ought to be done on the job. It ought to be done down at the school. It ought to be done at the store, wherever we go, whatever. Amen. We ought to live sanctified. Amen. When I think about that sanctification, that deals with the attitude as well. Gentleness, kindness, meekness. Amen. You can be as straight as an arrow and as mean as a snake. God don't want you to be that way. He wants us to be meek and loving and forgiving. Like Jesus, by the way. Amen. Here's my last one, number 6. Are we satisfied with private religion? Or is our religion any good in the public? Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I've kept my place here in Acts 15 and 18. Now go back to 10. There's a statement about the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He's talking about this sanctified Jesus, had the Spirit of God on him. You know what he did? He had a public religion. He went about doing good. He wasn't hiding his candle under a bushel. He was letting his little light shine. Amen. I don't mean that little light in any derogatory way to the Lord. He is letting his light shine. That's what we ought to do as well, by the way. Amen. We're called to be like Jesus. In other words, we ought to be a witness like Jesus is. We ought not just keep it quiet. I know there is a danger that says just keep your religion in the four walls of the church. Just don't say anything about it out in public. By the way, they've come out of the closet and they're manifesting it on the streets now. I'm talking about their wicked sin. Right. There was a time when people, the way they lived, the way they dressed, the things they did, that was done in another place. It might have been done down on 10th Street. North Wilkesboro, 10th Street was where the harlots lived. It might have been something that's done down on the street, down in the back corners, down in the red light district, but now they're doing it at church. Dressing and living ungodly. You know what? We ought to live right at church and we ought to live right down on the street. Amen. We ought to live right everywhere we go. We're called to be like Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 1. We're still in the book of Acts. Chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Every one of us, I'm sure, could quote this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As Christians, we're supposed to be a witness. You can't hide your light and be a witness. Some Christians, they've thought about their soul. They've done something about their soul. They're not thinking about their neighbor's soul. They're not thinking about their coworker's soul. They're not thinking about the person down the street or the person across the country. Amen. Brother Ballou used to say, whether it's across the street or across the sea, we ought to be spreading the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people that seem like that they are happy just to live and die in their happiness and never think about the happiness or the eternity of somebody else. God wants us to be a witness. Amen. Are we comfortable, satisfied, just being a private Christian and never going public with our Christianity? You can't make others do anything, but you ought not hide your light under a bushel. Amen. Amen. You ought not hide what you are. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to bear fruit. Bear fruit. You remember what Brother Hall preached that message about digging and dunging? Some of you remember that. I remember him preaching that years ago. The question that he asked about that tree that didn't bear any fruit, this was the question. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why do we let it take up space? Why don't we just cut it down and get rid of it? And the master said, or the servant said, can I give it one more year? And the master said, go ahead. I'll give you one more year to dig it and dung it and see what happens. Some of us, God might really just ask us, what have we done this year? If he gives us another one, what are we going to do with that? I've said this before, we've heard thousands of sermons. What have we done with one of them? What have we done with them? We need to take inventory and ask the question, how are we doing? Amen. As they come with a song and we close the service, I want to ask you the question, how are we doing? Are you concerned about your soul? Have you done anything about it? Are you concerned about your neighbor's soul? Have you done anything about it? We need to consider those questions. There are some that need to surrender to get active in the things of God themselves. Amen. I'm not just talking about surrendering to the ministry. Maybe some need to do that. Surrender to the ministry. But there's more than just surrendering to preach. How about being a witness? How about just shining on the job? Amen. You don't necessarily, listen, on the jobs where y'all work, those that work in a public workplace, you don't necessarily need a preacher there, but they need a witness there. You might not have time to preach, but you can still hum a gospel song. You can still bow your head and pray over your meal. You can still be a witness to somebody. Shine your light for Jesus. You can still live different than they do. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. As we've come to this last night, last service night of 2024, I thank you for giving us this year. I'm shocked and amazed at how quickly that it's come and gone. I think about just not all that long ago, we was all worried about COVID-19, and here we are in 24, headed into 25. To me, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago. Everybody's worried about Y2K. Here we are, a quarter of a century in. Time's passing so quickly. Lord, help us to do something with the time you've given us. Help us not to waste it. There's a song that says, I wish I'd given him more. And I'm sure, Lord, that when we see you face to face on that day, we'll wish we'd have done more. We'll wish we'd have said more. We'll wish we'd have prayed more. We'll wish we'd have given more. We'll wish we'd have done more for your glory and honor. Help us, dear God, to live today like you want us to live. Help us to be considerate of these things as we do this inventory. Lord, forgive us for our failures. Help us not to make excuses for them. Lord, help us to admit it, and then help us to turn from it, repent of it, and do our best to live for God, to bring you the glory and honor you deserve. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, many are in the altar, many are praying. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come. Let's stand and sing together this good song.
543.
Let's sing it together. Yes, he did. That thou mightst ransomed be and quicken from the dead. I gave. That's what the Lord said. I gave my life. What hast thou given? Do you need to come pray? Maybe you need to be saved. If you do, you can't save yourself. But I tell you what you can do. You can seek the Lord. You can seek Him. If you're saved, you ought to be seeking the Lord.
Agony to rescue thee.
thee, what hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee, this is the last verse, my home above, salvation full and free. Gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? Amen. Amen. Let me close with this thought tonight. I appreciate you being in the house of God. I hope the message was helpful. I thought about this when I was studying at that, looking at my notes there, about all the amazing opportunities we have today that they didn't used to have. Talked about the radio, the internet, all the different ways that we can give the gospel. Literacy is at a higher rate than it's ever been. People can read the Bible. Printing, we can print the Bible. On and on. Talking about all the great things that we can do. But can I tell you that there will nothing ever take the place of good old-fashioned fasting and praying and witnessing.
Amen.
Nothing like one-on-one telling somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing like getting along with God, getting a hold of the horns of the altar, and praying through. Amen. Nothing like being sincere and serious. Setting aside some things so you can dedicate yourself to God. Nothing will ever take the place of that. Amen. I'm convinced all these newfangled things we got, we could do a lot better if we get back to some of the old ways.
Amen.
Get a hold of some of them old things. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to get my wife to come down front. We'll come around and shake hands. Don't forget regular service Wednesday night. Be the first day of the new year. We'll come in and ring it out, amen, with a shout, as they say. Come in and worship the Lord on Wednesday night and be planning for that. All right, let's bow our head and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please?